The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick, no food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them." So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
And praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Many of you will probably think this is weird, but when I was a kid in elementary school, one of the things I really enjoyed was diagramming sentences. Does that make me a nerd? It was like a puzzle to be solved. Everything in a good sentence has its proper place, and it was in the process of figuring out how all this fits together. When I studied German in college, it became particularly helpful because, like Latin, you have to identify what is the subject, verb, object, clauses, and prepositional phrases before you can put the words in order and unlock the message from all these mixed up words. So for fun today, I tried to diagram the second reading. And I found something startling. It's all based on the prepositional phrase, in him. I didn't count how many times in him is used, I should have, but it's many, many times. In him, we who once hoped are now in him. St. Paul's theology and the proclamation of the gospel today is so clear in the second reading. He tells us the source of our joy and the reason for our being. It is a message that the world needs to hear today, especially for all those who think that religion is just an institution, perhaps built on a strong faith in the distant past, but not something living in this moment. St. Paul says we are destined for adoption, a plan chosen in Christ, in him, before the foundation of the world, to be holy. Incorporated in Christ, we no longer live for ourselves. We are in a relationship. We exist for the praise of the glory of the Father's grace granted to us in his beloved, in him. We have adoption in him in accord with the will of his Father. In him, we have forgiveness in accord with his grace. In him, he set forth his plan for the fullness of times to sum up all things in Christ. I find it interesting that times is plural there, not just for all time, but for every time. In him, we were chosen so that we might exist for the praise of his glory. In him, we have heard the word of truth and have believed and have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is the first installment of our inheritance toward redemption as God's possession. This is an entirely different way of looking at life. We are not mere individuals facing impossible odds and threatening situations. In him, we are one. I often speak about this, but want to consider again the difference between an individual and a person. A person requires relationship with another in order to know and to be known. Together, we are more. We are together, and it is in him that we operate with his power and authority. In him, we are powerful. We are called to be disciples in him. The word church itself, the word ecclesial that we use in English, or ecclesia in Latin, ecclesia in Greek, is the word for those who are called. This church of those who are called is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. You are an apostle when you are sent. That's what the word apostle means. Apostolon in Greek means one who is sent. He sends the apostles off in the gospel today and gives them authority over unclean spirits and the power to cure the sick. His power. They went out and preached Jesus' message, not their own, and by his instruction they were to take nothing extra along with them, but to only rely on his message. They could only take a walking stick, sandals, and a tunic to wear. No food, no sack, no money, not even a change of clothes, because in him we lack nothing. Again this week I ask myself, is this something I could do? I don't know. Is it possible that life could be this simple? Maybe we can take all the jumbled experiences of life, all the seemingly random situations and events, and do a little sentence diagramming. Let's look more closely into how all of these are ordered and connected. Everything depends on how I approach my life and my faith. The kind of constant conversion that I must make is a daily, gradual giving myself to God. We are a priestly people. We make offerings to God, and the most important offering is the offering of yourself. I come to know myself more and more in him, entering into his mysteries, literally the praise of the Father's glory. We gather as Christ, offering himself to the Father. Becoming Christ, we live through him, with him, and in him, so that all glory and honor may be given to the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit. This is the doxology of the great Amen at the Eucharistic prayer, which we acclaim at every Mass. It is the affirmation of the institution of Eucharist, which is our unity, brought together by the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is present to us. That Amen is the most important word you speak at Mass. By this acclamation, God receives us, consecrates us, and turns us into the body and blood of Jesus, to be broken and poured out for the world in him. Consider a plan God chooses in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we may be holy. By his love and mercy, you and I are a part of that plan. It is the reason for all of creation and the reason that we are here at this Mass. Nowhere else can you be Jesus saving the world. Because he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as St. Paul says, we have now the responsibility to live in him and use his power and authority to heal and teach our world, not with our truth, but with his.